service this morning, for Pastor Sid here. We thank you for meeting us, Lord, in our weakness and giving us strength. And Lord, we praise you for how you've worked in our hearts and lives even this past week. And we thank you for the testimony and witness of those around us who reach out to you and get strength and come back and give praise to you. Lord, let us be one of those who gain strength from you through your word, through your spirit working in our hearts and lives, and come back and share that with several others. Lord, we pray for the outreach of this body, that we would reach out to those who do not know you and invite them into a relationship with you. And Lord, thank you for the privilege of watching your spirit work in their lives and their hearts and bringing them to a relationship with you. Lord, thank you for blessing us and for the presence of each one here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I remember where I first received a Gideon Bible, actually. It was in prison. And I had a little pocket New Testament Bible that I actually still have. You know where it's at? It's at my toolbox at work, and I still read it. And if we get really slow, I'll sit up on my toolbox, and I'll still break that Bible out. I've been through the pages several times in that Bible. So thank you for you men who do those things. That was my first Bible as a Christian, was a Gideon Bible there in prison. So thank you. Thank you for that this morning. We're going to continue on in our study of James 3 this morning. I'd be lying if I didn't tell you this isn't one of the easiest sermons that I've ever put together, actually. I actually found it fairly difficult. And I don't know if it's because there's certain things in there that are hard to understand. I don't think there is. I think it's the application of it that really cuts you and really gets you, that makes it difficult to do this. And so, finally, Friday, the fog lifted, and I think I was almost ready, all right? And yesterday, it was set in stone. Yes, this is where we're going. Whew! Thank you, Lord, for helping me there, right? I've got to tell you, at our house, we like watching veterinarian shows. Sometimes Kristen likes watching the really gross ones, like they pop these big zits and things like that, or they have the toe things going on. It's disgusting, okay? I cannot handle that part. But one show that we really like to watch is Heartland Docs. Heartland Docs is filmed in Cedar County, Nebraska, and it's Ben and Aaron up there, right? And so when an animal comes in and it's got something going on with it, they're quick to give it some diagnostic steps, aren't they? One would be, if an animal comes in that's been hit or it's walking funny, let's make the dog walk and just see how it's walking. We have an idea of what's going on. The other would be maybe, you know, let's do a blood test and see if it's got some kind of virus, some kind of things going on in there that, you know, we can detect through a blood test. But the most common one I see them use is an x-ray. An x-ray gives us a picture of what's going on inside of the animal. In fact, they see all sorts of crazy things. Dogs that eat like a towel or something crazy that's plugging their gut. They haven't ate for days. They're sick and they're like, whoa, there is a blockage up in here, right? And that's all revealed by an x-ray. Because an x-ray allows us to see what's going on the inside. Broken bones, things like that, right? What a powerful tool. What a powerful instrument we have in the medical field to be able to take a look of what's going on inside of us, inside of an animal. Let's go to James 3 and see what he's got to say this morning, should we? We're going to read that this morning. James 3, 1 through 12 is where we're at this morning. And I want to say this up front. I do not have this mastered. I am teaching you today, but please allow me grace. I don't want to be the hypocrite from our Sunday school lesson this morning and be like, if you don't do it my way, let me tell you, I've got a lot to learn. I've got a lot to learn. Let's read. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grape vine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. James starts off with just a simple warning, doesn't he? Let not many of you become teachers, my brothers. Putting himself in the same category, let's not presume. Some translation would say, don't presume to be a teacher. Not everyone should jump on to the role of being a teacher. And what's believed by many theologians in this area is that the people in the dispersion, right, we're talking about those who had been pushed out because of persecution. They were kicked out, spread out. Now are taking up this role of being a teacher. Well, in Jewish culture, teachers receive some what? R-E-S-E-P-C-T, a little respect. Huh? With it maybe came a little bit of pride. I mean, we got to wonder what the heart was behind the people wanting to become teachers. And I think that's what James is driving at. Don't just jump on board to be a teacher because you think with it something comes. Not everybody should do this. This is not for everyone. Why? Because there's a stricter judgment that comes with it. I am standing before you today declaring to you the word of God. If I take that lightly, if I can speak words that are not true, I'll back up. Everybody does not like it when I walk that close. Everybody just took a sigh. I'm not going down, I promise, okay? If I'm here and we're declaring the word of God, we have to take that seriously. It takes study, it takes work, it takes looking into the word, it takes being right with him. You see what I mean? If we come at it with some different kind of attitude, if it is we come to teach or to do those things because of what we can get out of it and not what we can give. Paul said the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a sincere conscience. And what is going on when we come to teach, that matters. If I'm here so that today you can shake my hand and say, great job, Sonny. Oh, we love your message. Thank you. Then I did it wrong. Not many of us should become teachers because with it comes a stricter judgment. Now, we can't believe that this would be a judgment of non-salvation, right? This is not a salvation issue we're talking about. But if I get to heaven someday and Jesus said, yeah, great job. All the times that you went and spoke and taught, that was all about you. It wasn't even about me. Burn. Those words burn like wood. They don't last. And James is warning against the hard attitude of coming up at being a teacher just in a willy-nilly, free-for-all kind of attitude. There is a weight that comes with being a teacher. There should be. How many false doctrines have been taught by people who don't take it seriously that have caused destructive mess in the Christian life, in the Christian world? Because they didn't take it serious. Let not many of you become teachers, my dear brothers. And we all stumble in many ways. We all mess up in a lot of different ways. Is that true? I mean, I could just give you a list right now, really long, of just mine, right? I flooded the baptismal. Well, that's a mistake to some degree. I can't get over that little fact, all right? But I think James is talking about something a little more deeper here. We're talking about stumbling in sin, maybe not just mistakes, yet we make those, but we're talking about stumbling in certain sin, aren't we? We stumble in many ways. Some of us don't struggle with certain things, other people do. We struggle with sin. We have a problem. And as a teacher, that can present a problem, can't it? Oh my goodness. The one that crushed me to the ground was Ravi Zacharias. I laid on my bathroom floor and cried. My, how the mighty have fallen. And we stumble in many ways, don't we? Let's be careful. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. This is the second time we see James use this word bridle, really to rein in. I think in our culture we understand what that means, right? But if a man is able to bridle what he says, if he never stumbles in what he says, holding the body in check is a breeze, right? I don't know about you, but the easiest place for me to let something come out is just right out of this hole, right here, right? Right? Does that make sense? So if a man can hold this in check, the body is no problem. He's able to bridle his whole body. If he can keep his mouth in check, but the truth is we all stumble in what we say in some form or fashion. At some point, we all make mistakes in the way that we use our words, the things that we say. We'll get into that. I'm not trying to jump in. You know me. I'm just ready to hit the gun, and we're going to get to the end of this thing. But I have to dial back this morning. He can rein his whole body in. If he can keep his mouth in check, the body is no problem. And then James gives us three really concrete examples. We're going to spend some time here this morning. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Simply that bit, right? Tiny bit on a bridle, a little piece of metal, you know, has to be what? Not even a pound, goes into the mouth of the horse, and here you are, able to control that horse, move it wherever you'd want. A massive animal, 14 hands high, right? Big horse, powerful animal, able to be controlled by a small bit in the mouth. A bit is a powerful tool when it comes in to reining in a horse, right? It doesn't just direct its head, but it directs its whole body. In the same way, look at the ships also, right? Even though they're massive, driven by strong winds, right? They're able to be controlled by a relatively small rudder. I read of a ship, 489,000 tons. The rudder is 140,000 tons. About an eighth of the size, moving this massive, massive ship. Something so small, but yet so powerful. Powerful. And likewise, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Comparatively, how big is your tongue compared to the rest of your body? Now, some people can touch their nose with their tongue. I can't do that. That's gross, all right? I don't want to do that. Huh? But comparatively, my tongue, our tongues inside of our bodies are what? To the end scale, they're small. But man, can they accomplish great things, huh? And that's really what that word boast means. Because when we look at this in our culture, we're thinking Super Bowl game tonight. People are going to be talking boastful games. Look at this. You know what I mean? They make a catch and they throw it on the ground. They do their little dance, right? And woo, yeah, I'm the man. Along with the other players on the field, whatever, right? But that's not necessarily the Greek there. If you took the Greek and you made it one word, that would be what it says, arrogant speech, that kind of speech. But if you put it into two words, which is probably better to do, it actually means accomplishes great things. It boasts great things. Like the rudder boasts that what? I can move a huge ship. And the bit boasts what? I can move a big horse. Just the same, the tongue can boast and accomplish great things, whether for good or for bad. Think of the people who have been saved because of the gospel message going out, people declaring with their tongues, using it for good, telling them about the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen that people do that, right? I mean, you can use it for good. You can use it for power. You can use it for building each other up, encouraging one another, praying for one another. But that powerful instrument, it can be used for bad too, can't it? I've been doing a lot of like watching documentaries on World War II. Probably because I didn't pay attention in school. Now I got to actually learn something, right? But Adolf Hitler was an amazing speaker. And he drew people in to his way of thinking, man, and he could just talk and bang, bang, and he would hit that thing, right? And in his book, Mein Kampf, right, it says, bunch of words. And for every word he wrote in that book, 125 people died in World War II. People following him to do what? Egregious things against humanity. Because that man used a powerful tool for wickedness. For wickedness. Tool, man, the tongue's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And it ain't just powerful. The uncontrolled tongue can be destructive. How great a forest is set afire, or how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Here it is again, fire. I was gonna bring a lighter today. I'm not gonna do that, all right? Think how handy fire is. How useful fire has been to us. Right? We see the pictures of the cavemen like trying to figure it out, you know, that kind of a thing. When it happens, woo, here we go, right? Now we're cooking food and we're doing this and we got heat. I mean, I can't live without AC, but most of us could live without AC, right? We definitely can't live without heat. Think how useful fire is. But a small spark out of control leaves smoke and ash. We were up at one of my favorite places in Nebraska. It's a lake I really like to go. I will not tell you the name of it, all right? And we were out there, and somebody was out there, and they threw a cigarette down on the ground, and we're driving up, and I'm going, and all of a sudden, the cotton starts to catch fire, and the leaves start to catch fire, and I walk up to them, and I say, no, and I start stomping it out. I literally point at them and yell, no, just like little kids, and I started stomping out this fire as it started catching. If it would have caught the prairie grass on fire, the sandhills. You know how fast that burns? There was a strong south wind that day and it was just going. How quick? And they're like, oh man, that happens fast. I said, yeah, you're going to burn the whole place down. I was mad, I guess. And that's the tongue, isn't it? It's a fire. It's a fire. A world of unrighteousness is what my translation says. And we think about that word world, I think it's important to know what he's talking about. Because we can say, oh man, you're in a world of trouble. I've heard that more than once, all right? But we mean the vastness of it, right? We mean the greatness to that extent. Our tongue is a world of unrighteousness. The extent that it can do unrighteousness is huge. It's capable of committing grievous, awful atrocities. That's what it's talking about. It's a world of unrighteousness. It's capable of mass destruction. A tongue unchecked, a tongue out of control, is a powerful destructive force. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. I have a certain commentary I was reading about this. He went on forever right here. I'm going to give you the not forever approach this morning and tell you what I think is going on here. You guys good with that? Tongues set in our members in a way that it can really disrupt our life. A tongue out of control, right? Can really wreck our own course of life. Have you ever said words, I mean, that you wanted to take back just as soon as you said them? Something about that you just can't, can you? Once they're out there with words, you just can't rein them back in, man. And what's that do? That kind of moves out from there and goes where? To the wheel, the circle of life around us, and our words can affect. And all of a sudden, here it is gaining momentum like a fire in a forest. My life, your life, their life, their life. That is the effects that words can have when it's unchecked and uncontrolled. Powerful, destructive words. Not only affecting our life, but affecting the lives of those around us. How are you using your words today? So the tongue, it's a powerfully destructive force, but it's also untamable. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. I mean, think of the animals that have been trained. My kids watch those movies sometimes with, like, the dogs, you know what I mean? And they're like, they can talk, whatever. I don't think they get their mouth to move. That's computers. But all the little things they can get them to do, the tricks that they can get them to do. Tigers and lions in the circus, all the things. Sea lions bouncing balls off their nose. We can keep animals in check, right? We can rein these animals in. But we haven't figured out as humans how to keep our mouths shut, right? One person said 2 years to learn how to talk, 50 to learn how to be quiet. And I'm not even sure that's true, okay? It means I've got a few more years. I better learn how to shut this yapper before it's too late. One other guy said, you know what? Your tongue lives in a wet place. Be careful not to slip. How easy it is just to slip, let our tongues just kind of go and say things we should never say. Say things we don't mean. I know mine. I know where I slip the most, man. If I get angry, if something's really frustrating me, it just, boom, out it comes. And I'm not just talking about cuss words. You've offended me. Now I'm offending you. I'm going to retaliate with my words. I don't like your opinion, so I'm going to tell you mine. Not in hopes that you'll come to Christ, but in hopes that you'll understand my opinion. We'll have that come to Jesus talk, but that really means come to my way of thinking and talk. Mm-hmm. Ow. We all slip. Our tongue's untamable. Sometimes it feels like we got control of that baby, but then all of a sudden, what spooks it takes off. Something comes out we shouldn't say. I wrote a list. You see my notes. I had to write a list of how to, of ways we use our tongues that are not beneficial. Off-color joke. Cuss words. Bragging. False teaching. Retaliation. Words of anger. Lies. Gossip. Words that hurt. Tear down. Complaining. Easy to slip into all those things, isn't it? We did a devotion. We do a devotion at our house in the mornings before school. And one devotion was on complaining. It said that as we talk to somebody, we have the tendency to complain every 60 seconds. And in fact, our brains have a neurological pathway ingrained in them because we complain so much that it just goes there. And it makes this super highway for you to get there with. When you do something often, so I do mechanics, like my brain's going to go there. But we complain so much, my brain has a super highway to complain about complainers who complain. You know what I mean? Or maybe you just can't stop talking about people. Maybe it's always somebody else. Can't believe what that person did. You hear about what that person did? Or maybe it's lies. It doesn't have to be big ones, people. Maybe these little lies that we use to try to promote ourselves, make ourselves. I had to sit down with this one for a while the other day. You know what? In my past life, I prided myself on having a fast mouth and the ability to get out of trouble by talking my way out of it. Has that crept into my Christian walk? What about you? Where's your tongue slipped the most? You got opinions you just can't keep to yourself? That probably aren't really useful for the time. They do more damage than good. Where do you slip the most? Well, so we've said the tongue is a powerful, destructive, untamable force that's, sorry Christians, rather inconsistent. With it we bless our Lord and Savior, our Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. How many of us here, we're here, we're singing songs. We're singing some great songs this morning. Praise in the name of Jesus. Thank you, worship team, right? And then tomorrow morning we get to Monday and we get around with the crew and everybody's hanging out at the toolbox, you know, and they're sharing stories of the Super Bowl or whatever you want to say. But I thought that guy went to church. I thought that lady went to church. Why she always got something bad to say? With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse each other who are made in the likeness of God. We never maybe would curse God, but we curse those who are made in His image. We're made the same. We're the same flesh and blood people made by the same God. And yet we're so quick to lash at people, to judge people, to do all those things with our mouth all the time. It shouldn't be so. You can't get fresh water from a salt spring and vice versa. You don't get grapes from an apple tree. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Guilty. Guilty. So we're going to bring this to a head this morning. Remember that old song? The hip bone's connected to the leg bone. The knee bone's connected to the shin bone, right? And all those kind of things. Your tongue bone's connected to your heart bone. They're inseparable. And James here is giving us a little bit of an x-ray into our life and saying, here, look at this. Because what comes out of your mouth, what? It comes out of the abundance of your heart, Jesus said. James likes to pull off of Jesus' words pretty often, actually. It's not what you take in. It's not what you eat that defiles the man. It's not what you take in, right? But what comes out of the man that defiles the man. For from it comes all sorts of things. I'm not going to list the list. So what's coming out? What's coming out of the heart? If we're tipping the x-ray up, what's coming out of the heart? What's in here? And one way we can see what's going on in here is by what's coming out of this thing right here. Are you unhappy with the life God's given you? Then I bet you are unhappy with everything. Are you unsatisfied with who you are as a person? Then I bet it's easy to talk bad about others. You know what I mean? I can't tell you today what's going on here for you. God's got to do that. But I do know this, no man is able to tame the tongue, but God can. And he wants to come in here and he wants to do the procedure that's necessary to repair the problem that's going on inside of us, is that our hearts are bent to be selfish, self-ambitious, whatever it might be that drives you. I'm giving you mine, okay? That drives you to be a jerk sometimes. And that jerk mode comes out in the big flapper mode often. Because my heart is getting set on other things other than him. What's yours? What's yours? Mouth bone, tongue bone's connected to the heart bone. Jesus wants to do a work inside of us so that our mouths, people, we got a job to do. We got a job to do to tell about Jesus. And there is nothing more powerful and destructive that can take away our gospel witness than when we decide to open our mouths with something ridiculous, something off-colored, something not according to what God would want for us to do. That evil, that poisonous snake bite comes out and our gospel witness gets crushed. I think that's the heart. I quit Ford last time. Because me and my service writer, we just did this. And we both said things to each other that weren't good. And he was the one who would say, man, every time Christians come in here with them Jesus stickers on their car, they're the biggest jerks. And I proved him right. So I quit. I don't know if I told anybody that. Because I couldn't keep a rein on my tongue. And I lashed back with lashes, and he lashed back, and we lashed back. God wants to do a heart check in us today, and that test comes from this test. Where are you at today, brothers and sisters? Jesus, we bless you today. We praise you. We love you today. Thank you that though we cannot tame it, Lord God, you can. And you want to give us a victory in this area. We ask that you would take control of our hearts, Lord. Work in us. Change us, Lord, to be more like you. Who, when reviled, he didn't revile back. Who never slipped in what he said. Lord Jesus, we look to you to change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Willie, please stand.
Seems heavy, doesn't it? I wonder if there's somebody we need to go to. How many broken relationships have been from the words we speak? I want you to know I went back to that guy at Ford and said that was wrong. I'm so sorry I acted that way towards you. I'm so sorry that I would ever say anything like that to you. I did not mean to. I did not want to. And I asked for his forgiveness, which isn't popular in the working world. But I did it. Maybe there's a relationship out there you need to work on. So I pray God would just have a work in us. And we ask that, Lord, bless us, Lord. Bless us not with comfort today, but bless us with your Holy Spirit's conviction if needed to be, Lord. But we are confident that you are at work in us and that you are changing us and shaping us, Lord. And we ask that you would, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless you.